All right, welcome back, everybody. Now it is our third hour.
Who's counting?
I am. I'm telling you, I'm going to be an archivist in my next life because I have saved so many different things that we were in over the years, Lori. And just as we're going out, you know, we have to put things together to go out.
Well, we need to see what kind of enormous, you know, heel print we're leaving behind.
Okay, so this is a fun one that I found because...
What magazine?
Okay,
what year?
I'm going to tell you, it's from Real Spaces, and that used to be an insert in the Pioneer Press, and then I think it got other distribution, like at Kowalski's and some other places around the Twin Cities, and my friend worked there, and Pioneer Press was really lovely to us. Amy Carlson Gustafson, Molly Millett, Allison Kaplan, Dominic Papatola. I mean, so many people, we're just going to love them right now, but we know everyone else is too. So this was a stretch for them, figuring out a way to include us in Real Spaces, which is about decorating.
Oh, it was.
Especially after I listened to what I listened to, because I found all these old CDs of our show. And the one I listened to on the way into work was my mother coming over to help you get your home ready for sale.
Oh, when we were going to briefly sell it, when Casey wanted to move to a ranch.
Yeah, she came over to help you stage.
Yeah.
And you talked about your lack of everything, like design. And my mom didn't agree, but she did. And then you got into my artwork inheritance, which we'll play another day. And you were just metal. You just like to poke the bear all the time.
But so here's your sister.
So the stretch is, Lori is not a, you decorate yourself lovely, but this was never your thing. So it's how to get your husband to agree to decorating anything. I love the angle. That sounds like an angle I can get behind. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And just try to talk a man into buying a pink velvet sofa. Just try. But some girls possess the knack or wisdom to maneuver a fellow into a state of cooperation when it comes to matters decorative.
Ooh.
Lori Barghini and Julia Barghini Cobb. No one has ever spelled my name wrong. It's got an S. Sisters-in-law, and outrageously entertaining radio show co-hosts.
Oh, get out.
They're known as the Drive Time Divas. Have given the matter deep thought.
Oh.
Let's listen in. One. It just makes me laugh because I love the stretch. How to get your husband.
Right.
Okay. You can do a lot of decorating without your husband knowing about it.
He'll notice it's 1950.
He'll notice maybe 3 weeks later. And by that time, you can tell him it's been that way forever.
That's true. That is true.
Tie whatever you want done from the house painting, decorating, new furniture to food. This is Lori's line. Tie anything you want done to food, money, or sex. Okay, people, this is good. This is wisdom, parted by Lorene. Okay, you want a peach bedroom? Tell him, I will look so beautiful naked in a peach bedroom.
Yeah, you're going to have so much sex if the walls are painted
this
color.
Here's it. Promise, I'll feed you better in a remodeled kitchen. And a remodeled kitchen is your best investment for selling a house.
Use that
word, investment.
That's right. Okay? We need damn good advice.
Ask, why should we wait until we're selling the house and then fix it up for someone else? Let's enjoy the new family room now. That's me totally.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to use sports analogies.
Oh, yeah.
The coral carpet is a win-win situation. This just makes me laugh.
There was nothing we couldn't spin.
This made me laugh so hard because my friend Pat worked for the Pioneer Press too, and she's like, they really want to do something on you. And finding a tie with decorating with you.
And you know, really good tips, right, that are buried. That's a nugget that they could reprint today, except maybe change some of the wording about getting permission.
Some of the things, and I can.
But you
just
do have to agree on things in a shared household, you know.
But sometimes it's you wish the other person didn't want to have an opinion.
Oh, definitely.
It's decorating. Sometimes you're like, you know, you do you, let me do me, because sometimes that isn't their area of expertise, but they just want to be involved.
Yeah.
No, you stay in your lane.
Yeah,
I know that's bad to say.
When Casey told me, he said, you only have to go to Hammernick's once with me just to, but I'm just saying, he goes, then I'm going to deal with,
Lori doesn't decorate. I love Hammernick's.
I
want to
be the one that, I forget who our gal was that we worked with, but he goes, then, he said, I just want you to feel like you're having a say. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea.
So in your house, it's always been reversed.
Yeah, it is for sure.
It has, because he's the decorator.
I'm doing the decor. I'm doing the, you know, the design, the style.
Of yourself.
But also, I know how to dress certain things in a house, but I don't want to be involved with nitty gritty, like painting and countertops.
Like all the big things.
Yeah, all the big things. Yeah.
Okay, here's just something that ties into tonight. Mm-hmm. And this is from an article, July 26, 2005, Faces and Places, a daily look at pop culture around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Were we included?
It is. I'm not saying I wouldn't have it. Ways of the Flesh is the bold face.
Oh, dear.
Okay. This is the bold face title, Ways of the Flesh.
Oh.
The unchecked laughter suggested that Minneapolis St. Paul magazine's Adam Platt is sporting a pair of senior editor at the magazine, Adam Platt, was on FM 107's Lori and Julia show promoting the latest issue about food when Lori Barghini interrupted the interview to do a live commercial for Dr. Doug Jarvis, a plastic surgeon. Suddenly, you just went off. You went off, and suddenly Lori got the giggles. And so you're in the middle of an ad, you just start giggling, and you and I and Adam are just giggling, but you are off the rails, and your mic is on, and it's an ad.
Okay.
And then...
And someone is reporting this in a pop culture thing? I'm so delighted.
Yeah, you wouldn't, and you're talking about a different friend of ours that you would say no.
It's
that
probably person, us.
That person doesn't
have... Oh, we know these friends that had forehead lifts.
That is a... Right. No, those aren't moobs. I just say plump. You know, and then you go on and you're still laughing.
Oh, no.
You know, plus you're talking about this, how other things happen when people gain, you know, other weight. And it's about us.
Yeah.
And it's our friend, David.
No.
No.
I'm just having an epiphany about how I got the idea for the ad in the first place.
And then I was no help, apparently.
No.
And Dottie
loved, you're probably mortified.
Yeah, I was. And then and then it went on and on, and you went off on some other sports people in town. You named them.
Why are you giving us the exact quote? Is it that bad?
Kinda.
Oh, I can't believe it.
No, but you went off on other people just talking about all these people around the Twin Cities that have, you know, sympathy weight.
Moobs?
Yeah.
Moobs,
and
I was specifically.
And you're like,
I broke the moob barrier.
But you couldn't stop laughing. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
You couldn't stop laughing.
You know, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it was awkward. It was awkward because of the whole...
Because we were just laughing so hard.
Yes. I couldn't stop.
But those are the giggles that we used to get in the middle of our ads, and we'd just start giggling, and we would go crazy, and we couldn't stop ourselves.
Yeah.
And we just sit there like, you do it. No, you do it. And you're looking at me, and I'm like, I'm peeing my pants right now. I'm not going to do it.
We probably have never even talked to Dr. Jarvis about the fact that men might come in and have moob surgery. They can have breast reduction.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Right. It was relatively new. It wasn't spoken about.
Oh, God. And then, there's...
Still not spoken about.
No.
Still a stigma around it, Julia. I'm glad we're getting it out one last time in 2024.
But I remember you, and we're just like, oh, God.
You're the one that brings this up, and now you're acting all embarrassed for me.
We were all going to pee. Lori, oh, God.
That's funny.
This is like the blackmail file, I'm coming to find out. Some of our early press.
That is a pretty thick envelope you have over there.
But in just the things, and you literally...
What is that? Next headline, Divas Dish
Upon the Stars.
Oh, that must have been SAG coverage.
eBay overflows with love for Dr. Laura, bashing Lori and Julia.
Oh, geez.
I mean, remember when Dr. Laura was on? I mean, these are stories.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from Cosmopolitan magazine. Dear Lori and Julia, FM 107, real life conversation. Dear Lori and Julia.
What?
I so appreciate the nipples.
Oh,
if there's ever a spot for them in Cosmo, of all magazines, I'll use them.
Oh, good. I sent nipples to every magazine. But
she loved being interviewed by us. This was Katie White, editor-in-chief, who was big deal, and she still is.
Yeah, she writes thrillers.
Confessions of a Listener, Why I Love Radio. Garrison Keillor in The Nation talked about our outrageous show.
What did he say? Give us a quote.
We're missing the page, but it ends with, My world, and I like peering into it. It was about us, but the missing page. I mean, Lori,
missing a page. I think he likened us to, I do remember this, I think he likened us, he didn't always know or understand what we were talking about, but he likened us to having memories of accompanying his mom to a beauty salon as a kid, and he'd just sit in one of the high chairs, you know, with the blow dryer push back and just listen to the kind of the gossip, the talk, the how women talk is sort of what, and I thought, oh, look at that.
I know. That's this one's sweet. A funny one. Which side are you on? This is literally in the newspaper. We asked some local celebrities which side of the bed they slept on and got a few surprises. It is generally true that women prefer a warmer bed and men prefer a cooler one, said Pete Bills, senior director of sleep innovation at Select Comfort. But preferences vary on age. And physical condition, FM 107's personality, Lori Barghini, co-host of the Lori and Julia show, said she'd definitely be on the polar fleece side because here's your quote. I'm still premenopausal, though. Check back with me in a few years. Frank Vassalera was the lone male sleeping in the fleece.
That was just like, what a great answer.
I know. Oh, and Frank said, I always like to be tucked in and toasty. Is there any way to attach a polar fleece directly to my body? Oh. They went to ask Miss Richfield, but she was on a cruise and didn't respond.
Funny.
I mean, these are just, Lori, there's so many funny things in
here. Yeah.
Jeez. All right, well, look at the time.
It was perfect.
I know, I'm sorry.
I love these roads, these trips down memory lane. I wish,
But the things we've said.
I stand with all of it, Julia. There's really, I can't think of, you're going to have to show me something.
We're on the cover of the Pioneer Press here in the headline. This is from at Monday 2007, as the stars arrived for Guild Awards, Twin Cities radio hosts were waiting.
Oh, that was us. We were behind a bush right at the door at the very end. The best spot. Who knew? Really, who knew? We were in the best spot for years and didn't even know it because everybody has to go through the door.
Oh, remember our girlfriend getaway for Sex in the City?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, cool. Oh, you did a little sex on country thing?
Nice. I saved everything. I love that you did this.
I'm like you. I'm sentimental with stuff like this. Every time we even like our little, you know, we get those badges for when we did the cats, you know, cat video festival. Oh, yeah. I saved those. I'm with you, Julia. I'm a man of sentiment.
Don't
myself.
Ask me to show you my Kentucky Derby pass because I brought it in.
Look at that.
What we had access to, Lori, was really
something.
We had access to the Jockey Club Suites, the Rooftop Millionaire Row.
You know, they've just remodeled
Owners Area,
all of
the
that.
Media Center, the Racetrap, the Turf Club, the Winter Circle, the Fourth Door Camera Desk, the Red Carpet, Director's Steak and Art Side Room, Finish Line Suites, Temporary Hospitality Venues.
How did we even get that?
We called.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah. CEO over there called you.
It's just funny. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Sweet Living Senior Care. And Sweet is S-U-I-T-E, Living Senior Care. And, you know, this is a lovely place. I know it doesn't, you know, when the time comes for you or your aunt or your grandparents or your parents need a place to go where they can no longer take care of themselves. We are so happy to know about Sweet Living Senior Care. They have 18 metro communities. Probably one is close to you. They're really intimate. There's only 32 suites at Sweet Living Senior Care. They start out with assisted living, have memory care, and have hospice care. But it's so hard finding a place that you would feel really comfortable and that they would feel comfortable. But this place was perfect. We just loved the community there. We loved the people that work there.
And it's always a big deal. Like when you get to that point to do that, and it's like, oh no, where do we start?
Right.
Where do you start looking?
And
this place.
They also, you know, they just take care of people. It feels like home. Visit them today at sweetlivingseniorcare.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
What's that, Julia? Gotta have that microphone on.
Oh, I'm sorry I took up some of your time. I found our very first press picture.
Yes, oh, let me see.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
Oh, there's some short hair there.
That's our very first one.
We both have organically bad hair.
I love it.
That's all right. Grant, give us some dirt.
Well, let's get to this dirt right now. Rob Marciano, is that how I say his name, over at ABC News?
He GMA.
Is GMA and ABC News. He started in 2014 on GMA. He is out at ABC News. The former ABC News and Good Morning America meteorologist is no longer with the company, a source tells People. But the news of his firing comes 2 years after his ex-wife, Aaron, filed for divorce after
he's
11 years of marriage.
He's been on a timeout since last year. Yeah. He's only been allowed to report from weather, like from a tornado or a hurricane or something. He hasn't been in studio, and he left Entertainment Tonight to go to GMA.
I know he did.
Wow.
He used to be an Entertainment Tonight reporter, and then he went to be
He's got anger issues, though. It sounds like he's not a nice guy.
Yeah, inappropriate behavior, anger issues. But continued to report on outside locations. And I love, like you said, like hurricane, snow. Oh, no. Let's put him in the worst elements possible.
But they just didn't ever have him in the studio.
No, they didn't.
He kind of took over for Sam Champion Sam left to go to the Weather Channel.
And now Sam is back kind of really a lot more than part-time.
Yeah.
He is.
He's Ginger Z's backup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger Z's backup. And this guy was the third.
Anyway, Rob. Yeah. I wondered why I hadn't seen him from the tornado.
Right.
Oh, yeah. In Nebraska. Oh, gosh.
Like, my kids were at a wedding.
In Nebraska during? Well,
no, in Omaha. It happened outside of Omaha. That was
an F5, one of the biggest tornadoes.
But it happened right in the first tier of suburbs.
Terrifying.
Terrifying. There's so many videos out there that just, wow. So
they were at the groom's dinner and they had to go downstairs into a shelter.
That's scary because, I mean, an F4 or F5, it'll disassemble a brick building.
Yes.
Like it's paper.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of videos out there of that tornado and what it did to some of those towns.
Oh, destroyed that one little town.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy. Let's get to this story. We had talked a lot about the docuseries Quiet on Set, you know, with all the unfortunate mishaps and situations.
That remind people the shows that was
all
about
the Nickelodeon.
All the
kids.
Nickelodeons, okay. Like all that. Amanda Bynes' show. I don't know the later versions because I was too old, but all Drake and Josh, the kids sitcoms that they had on Nickelodeon.
Zoe,
exactly. Was Zoe on Disney or was that on Nickelodeon?
That was Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that was Nickelodeon. But basically, Dan Schneider is taking the producers of Quiet on Set to court, claiming they defamed him by falsely portraying him as a child sex abuser at Nickelodeon and ruining his reputation. So,
Very careful, Dan, because make sure somebody's explained to you how defamation works.
Yeah, so they're he's saying that they falsely implied that he sexually abused child actors who worked on the set and tied him to other producers who were convicted, like Brian Peck, who we talked about.
That he's doing a bluff trying to get Nickelodeon to settle, because once it's time for depositions and people to start remembering, because he has to prove... Right. Defamation is you have to prove that it's not true.
Yes.
Yes. And he did, and he even tells TMZ, which we always talk, we never complain, never explain. Yeah. He told TMZ, and this is, you know, recently on talking about this, is there's no doubt that I was sometimes a bad leader. I am sincerely apologetic and regretful for that behavior, but I will continue to take accountability for it. That's like,
you see, he's such a bully. He's such a bully the way he treated women, the way he treated kids. There's
Ariana Grande.
Too much firsthand. I say this is just like a bluff. He's going to try and get Nickelodeon to settle.
Yes.
But I think they should call his bluff. This is like poker right now.
I'm with you.
For me, this is kind of, this was my generation, because I watched like early 90s Nickelodeon.
That voice is Sam.
What I'll say is there's a difference between how he acted off air and like the stuff that was written for the kids shows. And there's kind of like the difference between two. Some of the stuff that was written for those shows and like watch them as an adult, it's like, this isn't great.
Yes, the jokes were not tasteful at all. There was also videos that he would take of, you know, the actors off when they were offset.
Right. In hot tubs.
And his relationship with Amanda Bynes, they were, was getting wedged in between her parents.
Yeah, he was the reason why she wanted to separate from her parents. So, yeah, I'm with you, Lori. I think that because it does say here that Dan is suing for defamation and seeking unspecified damages. So, you're right. I think one's going to call the other one's bluff eventually here. But we've got to mention this with the little time we have left. Twins fans might have noticed something happening last night after the game. We are now, if you recorded it, sorry, I ruined this for you, but we did win today. We have won 10 in a row. You got to be happy about that, although they are against some pretty bad teams. But congratulations to a team that's won 10 games in a row. But unfortunately, unless you have DirecTV, you will not be able to watch any more Twins in this town. They have left Dish Network years ago. They are now, as of last night, right after the game was over and after they did the post-game show, a blank screen came up and basically said that, you know, they're in negotiations with Diamond Sports, who are in the midst of bankruptcy proceedings to repurchase access to the games. Now, my big problem with this is, so if you have Xfinity, if you have Comcast, you will no longer be able to watch the Twins games unless they come to an agreement.
This is terrible.
Julia, your mom is going to be so upset.
Oh, I can't. So is my husband.
Well, so am I. I mean, right now, a lot of people. And they're right.
Because most people seem like they have Comcast here.
They had Comcast, and then there's a reason why people left Dish Network to go to Comcast, because it was kind of always, you could get it at Comcast and DirecTV. But I have to say that I'm going to say this, the real people at fault here are the Minnesota Twins. They had a chance. They said in the beginning of the season that they're not going to spend money in free agency because Bally Sports is not giving them the money that they owe them. Then the MLB gave them an opportunity to go join a streaming network where fans could have absolute access to all Twins games. They said no. They stuck with Bally's, and they promised all Twins fans, there's quotes all over from the Minnesota Twins, that we are going to make efforts to bring all fans access to the Twins, and now you are literally providing one cable network, otherwise one streaming network, FUBU, which costs how much?
I think it's $79 a year.
Is it? It's $79 a year?
I think $79. That's
$79.
Right.
So you can pay $79 a year through FUBU, or you can change your whole system and go to DirecTV. I could go on forever about this one, you guys.
Well, what's going to happen?
Right now, it's just like any of those negotiations. They got to go to the table and come to an agreement. And if and when they come to an agreement, which we don't know when, we'll get the Twins back. But until then, it's in limbo because right now, the team that owns the broadcast rights is in bankruptcy, so they need the money. The Twins know, or not the Twins, but Xfinity knows they need the money, so they're calling their bluff. And this could go on for a while.
Ugh.
It's bad.
This is not right.
Not good at all. It's absolute nonsense for
not
a team.
Not for the fans. We're supposed to have access. We paid for that stadium.
We paid for that stadium.
We're supposed to get access. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Learning Our Acts. And one of the characters in this book we had on today on Crow Talk is this little boy, Aiden. And he could talk and he could read. And then, you know, then all of a sudden he couldn't. And one of the things that Learning Our Acts has been able to do with kids that have had were able to read. Something sometimes happens with kids that have dyslexia or autism, and all of a sudden that they're smart, you know that your child is in there somewhere, and they have been able to be very successful in helping people, depending on where you are and exactly what the issue is. But taking that Woodcock-Johnson cognitive skills assessment test is very eye-opening. Sometimes parents don't want to you know, have used prescription medications and things like that. So maybe give this a try and see what happens with that assessment. 952-949-6900.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
And then there was a scandal.
Vintage scandal.
It was quite the scandal. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, you've already given us vintage scandal a couple times today.
I have.
In random thoughts and just at 5 o'clock.
I know.
Going down press clipping lane.
We really are.
But, okay, so one of the things that I was at Sa Pa Felipe today getting a little, you know, blowout bang trim. That's what I call it.
That's because she wants it for $20.
No. But I like him to cut my hair when it's dry. Otherwise,
yes,
he chops off too much. And anyway, but we were talking about just great, you know, like memoirs that you've read. And we both like really love Hollywood stuff. And I said, do you ever remember this book called You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again? Do you remember that book?
You just brought it up the other day.
Because I was thinking about this for Vintage Scandal. So it's a memoir by a girl, you know, from Brooklyn who becomes the first woman to win a Best Oscar for Picture as a producer, Julia Phillips. That is the name of her memoir, You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again. And she becomes the first producer, and it's the 1974 Academy Awards. This is how she opens her book. A streaker, which we find out years later was planned. David Niven is the host. Presenter Elizabeth Taylor was doing the Best Picture, and she stumbled over her words. And when Julia took the stage, and this is how she opens her book, she said, you can imagine what a trip this is for a Jewish girl from Great Neck. Tonight I get to win Academy Award and meet Elizabeth Taylor, all in the same moment. And Elizabeth Taylor just like laughs out loud. And when Phillips wrote that, what she didn't know, and then she goes on to say, well, the drugs she took that day, a diet pill, a small amount of coke, 2 joints, 6 halves of Valium, which makes 3, and a glass a half of wine.
They don't mix well?
Well, no, she just gives that as context for that night. But Julia Phillips, in partnership with her husband, Michael Phillips, was one of the most successful film producers in Hollywood during the 1970s. Their second film, The Sting, grossed $160 million, won 7 Academy Awards, and is the award that Elizabeth Taylor presents Best Picture at, is The Sting. And she's one of 2 producers, and it's the producers who accept the Best Oscar. And then their third movie was Taxi Driver, which brought them their second Oscar nomination and won the Palme d'Or, which is in Cannes, like their Best Picture, in 1976. And then in 1977, they co-produced with Steven Spielberg a little movie called Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Wow.
Which is this, you know, so 74, 1976, now she's on top of the world, but she's also on top of a pile of cocaine and excessively snorting, drinking, very hedonistic lifestyle. And when she wrote the book in 1991, she'd basically, people told her this will be career suicide for you to write this book, because she said, I'm never going to eat lunch in this town again, and I'm going to say everything I know about all these people.
People magazine said about this book when it came out, one of the nastiest, tastiest tell-alls in showbiz history, a blistering look at La La Land, a Hollywood member that tells all sex, drugs, greed, why it sounds just like a movie, the New York Times. Oh, I want to read it now.
Oh, it's kind of an unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It was in Hollywood, and in Hollywood, it was like in Beverly Hills, it was the fastest selling book they'd ever had. Everybody wanted to read this book, because the book begins, we meet Julia Phillips. Talks a little bit about her childhood in Brooklyn in 1940s, and then it covers her first years in the film industry and what she did and sold and how she got her first movie made. And then she and Michael, her husband at the time, they kind of sold everything to make this movie called Steel Yard Blues. And it was this small movie, but it led them to The Sting, which led them to The Taxi Driver, Close Encounters. She becomes the first woman. But it is, to be in the Hollywood business, we find that she spills stuff about Spielberg, Scorsese, Richard Dreyfuss, Goldie Hawn, David Geffen, Ovid, all these power players, right. You know, in that time, right. In that early 70s. She called them, that Hollywood was nothing but a rogues gallery of nerds. And she exposed the boys club that was very much happening in Hollywood at the time and just called people out in it. And critics loved it, but they also said it was scandalous, the things she revealed, and it would be a career ender. And sure enough, it was a career ender for her, but she'd already ended her own career with her cocaine addiction.
Wow. Lori.
So by the early 80s, she and Michael got divorced. People didn't want to work with her. Apparently, Francois Truffaut, or however you say his name, Truffaut.
Sure. I'm impressed.
You know, French cinema guy.
Sure, him.
He played, I'll tell you what, in Close Encounters, he plays the goofy French government scientist in charge of UFO activities. He kind of has an iconic role in that movie. He called her an absolute nightmare and blamed all the post-production that everything, she was just such a nightmare because she was always stopping everything to go snort cocaine.
Well, can you imagine when they're really addicted like that? I saw that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I saw Scarface.
Yeah. So she kind of, when she got kicked, you know, everything. So she turned to writing a memoir to make some money.
Well, I can't find it anywhere because I'm just on Libby.
You can right Kindle.
Now. You can find it on Amazon, Kindle. And it's $19.
Yeah,
that's where I'm, because I was looking for if
it got reissued January 17, 2024, because the LA Times has been revisiting some of the, you know, she just has this epic story, and if you like Hollywood stuff, she really, when it landed, people were going to the index to see if their client was in there, Warren Beatty, you know, Goldie Hawn. She called Irving Azoff, who was like one of the biggest producers, movie guy, money guy, dangerous and powerful, and that no one ever messed with him. And if they did, you know. So it was kind of an Icarus story. She did fly too close to the sun. She got involved and she loved it. It made her power crazy. And then she fell, crashed to earth, and then she writes this book and really makes sure that she is out of Hollywood forever.
People like to seal the deal sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm not low enough. Let me go lower.
Yeah,
wow.
But one Hollywood producer called it the longest suicide note in history because it's like maybe a 500-page book or something like that. And 573-page primal scream is how Newsweek described it. And anyway, but her book was a huge success. It was number one for 15 weeks. And several, like I said, the LA bookstores couldn't keep it in stock.
I, yeah.
And the book was reissued.
Everyone probably wanted to know if they were in it.
Yeah, the book was reissued after she died in 2002. Mm-hmm. But
that's where I'm reading reviews from 2002.
And shortly before she died, she did an interview. She was asked about if she'd been too cruel. And she said, "We all have our standards. People believed in an ugly and despicable way towards me. I felt no constraints. Nothing I did in my book was as mean as any of the people I wrote about." Mm. She
there you go. She owned it.
She owned it, and it did cost her. She was going to produce Interview with a Vampire, the Anne Rice novel.
Oh, yeah.
With David Geffen. But David Geffen, she wrote about him in not a nice way. And then he was like, "You're not going to be on that." So anyway, that was life imitating art right there. Mm-hmm. But it was, I do remember reading that book and just loving
it.
In fact, I kept it for a long time, and I finally gave it to a friend. I was like, "You got to read this damn book. It's just unbelievable." I love a story about ambition and ego and movies and cocaine and bad behavior.
I love that, Lori. Oh, for God's sakes.
I'll read it every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all good topics.
Yeah.
They are. All right, we're going to take one last break. We'll be right back. It's Lori and Julia. This song is taking over the number one song of Beyonce.
Yes, it is.
Shaboozey. Yeah, it's just making things happen.
Yes, Cowboy Carter and Shaboozey being the first two. What was it? I think that they're the first two African Americans, two black artists to lead the charts back to back.
Back to back, yeah.
Which is pretty
on
amazing.
The country charts.
Yeah, in the country mm-hmm. charts. Which this song went up in its first week, 95%, and streamed up to 20 million streams after its first week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like Ryan Gosling's Beavis and Butthead SNL skit. Oh. That is on track to be like one of the most viewed SNL skits.
Isn't that wild?
Because it was so funny, and he showed up that way with Mikey Day from SNL at the Fall Guy last night.
Love it.
Grant posted the red carpet photos. They were Beavis and Butthead. That's not attractive.
No,
you know?
It's such a bad look. I never watched that show because I hated the sound. Something that someone made. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Lori, I want you to know that Lenny Kravitz always wears leather pants to work out in the gym. Why?
Really?
Well, he doesn't always. He's doing that right now because he's getting an album.
This is what he says. He says he wears them to the gym because he doesn't sweat when lifting weights, and he's usually coming in off the streets and like, "Oh, I'll go lift."
Lenny, why you gotta lie to
us like
that?
He's in boots, leather pants, or jeans. It doesn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a schedule. "I'm coming from somewhere. I'm going somewhere. I just don't care. I'm going to pop in. I've got 45 minutes. I'm going to hit it, and then I'm going to run off to where I'm going."
All right. I believe you. Fine. Yeah. If you're going to protest that hard about your leather pants, I'm not going to say you're lying.
I think that's what...
just seems uncomfortable. It seems like they're going to grind up into your balls. The seam of the pants when you're laying back. Yeah. Just knowing what I know from having my hand in the Y a couple of times.
Oh, Lori, I'm not listening to Lori. But we posted some trailers. She's still talking, I think. We posted some trailers.
Can you look at me?
No, I can't. No, she's so gross. Okay, so on Wednesday, May 1st, which is today, which is May Day. Happy May Day, everybody.
I got married on this day once.
Oh. You did?
Once, May 1st. And it was kind of a rainy day, and I was just fit to be tied because I was like, "That's not what I ordered. You know, that's not what I wanted." And then somebody told me it was good luck.
This was number two, wasn't it?
No, that was my first.
Oh, your first was May Day. Okay. Yeah. And Presumed Innocent, the official trailer for this new Apple Plus thing Grant posted.
It looks amazing.
Really does.
We also have the official trailer for Ashley Madison's Sex, Lies, and Scandal.
Yeah.
Really, we lived that scandal. We reported on that on a weekly basis.
I remember.
Sex Monday.
Yeah,
we did.
There's going to be three episodes, 50 minutes long. That one looks very...
Okay, but go intrigued. Back to Presumed Innocent.
Please,
so this is the Scott Turow novel.
That we loved.
Harrison Ford was in the movie.
Yes,
and now it's going to be an 8-part... miniseries starring what's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
It was such a good movie, and it was such a good book. I actually read, that was the first Scott Turow. Yeah.
Rusty.
Everyone read this book.
Yep.
It's got affairs, right, and everything?
Oh, it's juicy.
Mm-hmm. It's juicy. Because you think, right away, you think he's guilty. Because of how he write, you know, how he described, I was obsessed with her.
Oh, yeah.
You always, you're right. Okay, right away. Guilty! Okay.
I like Jake. I think this will be a fun role for him. I do.
Gene Hack and or Gene Smart and Hacks, people are just saying this third season is everything.
Love that.
That show is great.
That is a good show, but is it just streaming on Max? I didn't see it on my HBO.
That's where it is. Okay. Now look at that.
And
$15.95 a month.
In this third season, remember, she finds a renaissance of popularity, which I'm excited about, you know, because she's the prior ones. It's kind of like, where is she at? The struggles and all that stuff. And now she's got this newfound fame that she's going to capitalize on, which I'm sure that's going to be fun to ride along with.
Deborah Vance. What a great, I just always.
It's a great name.
It is. I always just think of, what's her name? Her daughter was Carrie Fisher. Oh, Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds.
They always kind of say that she was lightly modeled on her with a splash of a comedian, throw somebody
totally.
In. Yeah,
totally. I see that. We have to give a shout out to our Bids for Kids people who were in studio with us today. Lisa Diaz and Diane Morris from Salute.
That's right. Contributing money for Bids for Kids.
Yes,
thank you.
Studio.
And we're a good audience for us today.
You guys had a live
really
student.
You girls gave me some extra energy.
Yeah, Lori, thank you.
And Julia, what did you learn today?
Read things before you say them out loud on the air.
Pre-read.
And thought we learned that lesson a long time ago.
I know we have.
Yeah.
I was just
When you're covering different ways that we were in the news.
I just thought it was
sometimes controversial
very. And but I loved our decorating advice. In a design magazine. I know. They found an angle for us. That was, I just love that.
Yeah.
Today is Mother Goose Day, in case you're wondering. Mother Goose, they never figured out who was Mother Goose. There wasn't really a person.
It was a nursery rhyme, wasn't it?
It was a nursery rhyme, but...
And not even a good one, let's be honest.
Well, it tells a story of how Mother Goose is about to be thrown off her land because she can't pay the squire.
Again!
Along comes Priscilla the Goose. Mother Goose loves her as a friend and doesn't know the good fairy has sent her to help Mother Goose. Priscilla lays golden eggs, Goose is
can
rich.
Can sell them, yeah.
She's rich. She can pay the rent.
There you go. It's got a happy ending.
That's where pay the rent, but I can't pay the rent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's that. Humpty
Julia, Dumpty. You should do a documentary like podcast and figure out investigate the origins of Mother Goose.
Lori's going to dress as Priscilla the Goose and come in with the gold. Look at what I found, Mother Goose.
Yeah, maybe someone will take that, the Garden of Time at the Met Gala.
See, look, it all
and
ties
someone
together.
Will come in flowers with a goose laying golden eggs.
You are both welcome. You can
thank
have
you,
that.
Sam.
There you go.
That was free. That was totally free. I love it. Oh my gosh, what a crazy day.
A good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
It was a good one. I've got so much random stuff in my head right now. I'm not going to say it out loud, though.
Oh, no.
Our best was singing One Tin Soldier, the Billy Jack. I think that is, we sang it. People even said, complimented us.
On One Tin Soldier?
Yeah, that we could sing that one. So,
oh, wow.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. What a day. Guess
people
what?
People got to hear that twice.
We're going to... I know. Aye. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, Grant.
Wow.
Job done. Off you go.